Again, we welcome you to our afternoon service, our study in the book of Philemon here at Berean Baptist Church. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm going to jump right in and read for you verses 12 through 16 of the book of Philemon. Here's what the Bible says, "Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels or heart of mercy, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that the benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord." Let's pray. Father, thank you for all that have joined today to learn more from your word. Lord, we've been talking about slavery. We've been talking about how you instructed the Apostle Paul, also Philemon. You taught them, Lord, how to deal with this hard issue and other issues, because the gospel sets us free. We are to deal differently than what the world does. And so, Lord, teach us and give me wisdom and thought flow from the Holy Spirit to be able to share forth your truth in a transformational way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've already seen that Paul has made an appeal unto Philemon because he's sending Onesimus back as a runaway slave and a fugitive. Tychicus is going to go with him, and he's also not only going to carry the letter to Philemon, but also to the church at Colossae, which met in Philemon's house, as well as the book of Ephesus to the church there in Ephesus. So when they would get there, there's going to be the challenge of Philemon. Is he going to be forgiving? Is he going to restore Onesimus to being a slave and abuse him and perhaps even beat him or maybe even put him to death? Or is he going to treat him now as a Christian? Is he going to treat him now because Jesus Christ and God's principles would be operating and governing in the mind and heart of Philemon? By the way, that's why he uses the old English word bowels, which comes from the Greek word splanchnon, and it really means your internal heart of mercy. And Paul is saying, I am having a heart of mercy and by restoring Onesimus to you, because he's going to be completely different for you. He's going to be a welcomed brother in Christ if you'll function on biblical truth, if you'll let the Word of God control you. So, the return of Onesimus. Onesimus knows that at this time in history and in that culture, he was returning as a fugitive runaway slave. It was a great demonstration of Onesimus's faith in the Lord and in Paul that when he arrived at Philemon's house, he would not be put to death or beaten. His return under the status of fugitive for him was a really hard choice. Each step that he took, marching his way back from, walking his way back from Rome all the way to Colossae, I'm sure that there was a wrestling match going on. I'm sure that it was a difficult choice. Okay, I'm going to go back. It was harsh before. It was so harsh before that I had to flee. And now that I am returning, what if Philemon wasn't a real Christian? What if he was just a Christian by his mouth? What if he was a Christian by his statements, but his choices, his attitude, his actions, the way that he lived his life, what if that wasn't authentic, as we see in so many people's lives today? Well, you see, Onesimus had to take a journey of faith that what Paul said was true, that the gospel had taken root there in Colossae, that Philemon had trusted Christ as his Savior and turned from his sin. And as a matter of fact, it was not only marked by his personal transformation, but the very fact that he was having the church meet in his house. So, Paul sent Onesimus, verse 12, "Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is my own tender mercies." So he's sending Philemon, and Paul shows his deference in Philemon's thinking. How's Philemon going to receive this? What's it going to be like? Look with me in verse 13. He says, Paul speaking unto Philemon, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he may have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. In other words, you know, Philemon, I know that you would like to help me out. Here I am imprisoned in Rome under Nero because of the gospel, and my needs are going to be only met by Christians who love me and who are kind to me. And you know what, Philemon, I wish you were here to help me. And Onesimus kind of filled in for you because he came from you, he came from your town, and he's been here helping me and serving me. And I would like him to continue to do that. But you know what? I would have retained him with me in your stead. But verse 14, but without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as of it were necessity. But he said, if Onesimus is going to serve here, it needs to be done because he's willing. Now, he is saying that the sovereign hand of God is working in a powerful way in this entire matter. Look at verse 15. Okay, Philemon, why did Onesimus run away? And was it just a runaway slave? Was it just, your loss? Was this just a happen that, circumstances the way they kind of fell out? Or was God working powerfully, miraculously behind the scenes so that both of you would understand not only what it means to be saved, but what it means to live biblically with the mind of Christ, as demonstrated and displayed by the Apostle Paul while he was there in Colossae, but also while he was there in Rome. So look at verse 15. Paul shares this sovereign perspective of the hand of God in this entire matter. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. You looked at it as, boy, Onesimus ran away, and he took money from me, perhaps, and it's been a terrible struggle, and life has been hard because he's been gone. But there's another way to look at it. In other words, put your gospel glasses on. Put your biblical worldview on and recognize that your God is sovereign, that your God is at work in the affairs of human beings to bring them to the place where they are willing to embrace the gospel. Now, it's sad to say that most people don't. It's sad to say that in the difficult circumstances, in the troubled circumstances, the hardships, the loneliness, the adversity in life, woe is me, that people don't look for God there. They look to satisfy their own sinful lusts, and so many walk away from God. But Paul says, Onesimus went away for a while, but now he's returning. Why? Verse 16, not now as a servant. In other words, I'm not returning him to you as a slave that is going to be merely financially profitable, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh, in other words, as a fellow human being, and what he might do for you in helping you, but also in his relationship with the Lord. Paul now injects a reminder of a biblical worldview that is needed by all Christians. You ready? When Onesimus ran away, it was considered an unlawful act, but God would turn it around for Philemon's good and for God's glory. Have you gone through a divorce? Have you gone through struggles? Have you suffered abuse? Have you been wrongfully fired? Have you been dealt with in a way that was corrupt? Has even the legal system abused you? There are many, many different things in this world that are negative, that are wicked, that we wish weren't there, but we live in a world that has the power of choice, and you can't have the power of choice without having the power to choose wrong as well as choose right. The gospel is here to enable us to choose right, to live right, to do right, to be right, to love right, to talk right, to serve right, to be the right kind of person. And when we embrace the gospel, that's what God wants us to do. That is the entire lesson of what God is teaching us in the book of Philemon. Now, Philemon was probably dealing with conflicting feelings. Isn't that true for all of us? Hey, God brought it. Oh, Onesimus got saved? Well, yeah, but what about the problems he caused me? Well, Onesimus is going to go to heaven now. Yay, but what about the jerky things he did to me? You see, we can have conflicting feelings. Onesimus should be punished and made an example, or how do I process this in the light of Jesus Christ being my Lord and Savior? You know, at the junctures in life, at the times in life when we manifest stewardship responsibilities, we can go one of two ways. Our old sinful nature screams in our ears, make sure that you get yours, make sure that you're taken care of, make sure, and literally screams for all of that which is selfish, all of that which is sinful, all of that which is pre-gospel in our lives. And yet at that same juncture, God the Holy Spirit who indwells us, the new nature He gave us, at the point of salvation, when we were born again into the family of God, the theological term is regenerated. When you and I experienced regeneration, literally the process of the old things start passing away, and all things are becoming new in Jesus Christ. Our life takes on new meaning. It takes on new purpose. It takes on new goals. It takes on an absolute brand new trajectory to live to the glory of God and to be biblical toward others. Oh, that we would grasp this as Christians. Oh, that we would let Jesus Christ rule in our hearts. Let the Word of God govern us. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Flee youthful lust. Follow after righteousness, faith, love, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Local church fellowship, building one another up, listening to preaching, listening to others pray as we grow in our relationship with God and each other to become Christ-like. Salt and light and a pure testimony before a lost and dying world by keeping confessed up and prayed up. Now, Philemon was dealing with these conflicting feelings. Onesimus was viewed by Philemon as a fugitive and a sinner. But didn't God view Philemon in the same way? I mean, all of us, are we not fugitives and sinners from God? Should we not really recognize that God created us and we are accountable to Him? And when we don't recognize that, when we don't submit ourselves to Him, we are fugitives from our responsibility to God? Was not Philemon in the same position, really? Yes, Onesimus may have done something that was condemned by Roman law, but he had done something far worse. He had done something that was condemned by God's law, but Philemon had done the same, so had Paul, and so have you, and so have I. So the fact of the matter is we need to look at this from a biblical standpoint. But God didn't view Philemon in the same way. Onesimus' sins were different than Philemon's, but didn't the Lord Jesus save both of them from their sins so that they could take on not only the forgiveness, not only abundant life in this world and eternal life in the next, but a new relationship one with another. Gospel relationships, when both bring to the table a walk with God, a willingness to glorify God, a willingness to keep confessed up and prayed up, gospel relationships are sweet. They are joyous. They are, even at times of disagreement, the disagreement is limited to the subject and not to the person. You and I learn how to communicate for the first time in a genuine, authentic way. In marriages and in homes, there's not going to be the taboo subjects that we can't talk about because we blow up or we clam up or we escalate emotion into negativism. When the Word of Christ dwells in you richly, when you learn to let your speech be with grace, controlled by the principles of the Word of God, and recognizing that you're in the presence of the Son of God, indwelt by the Spirit of God, and accountable before God, and you will be chastened, you will be convicted if you just live your life in selfishness and self-indulgence, professing to be a Christian. The Apostle Paul warns in 1 Corinthians 11 that if you do not respond to God and you live corrosively towards others, you live in such a way that you commiserate others and yet you claim Christ. He says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you. God will allow you. God will even may bring sickness into your life as a form of chastisement. And ultimately, he said, some are actually taken home because of their wicked disobedience as a believer. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which ye have of God? And if any man defile the temple, If you defile it by living like the world, wanting like the world, lusting like the world, drinking and talking and going and doing and all your motives of the world, guess what? God says there's going to come a point in time when you're not of earthly value to me, and now I'm going to take you home and set you free from your sin, the sin that you refuse to fight for God's glory on this earth. Now, Onesimus, look what it says in the beginning of verse 15. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season. Onesimus was gone for a season. The duration of how long Onesimus had been away from Philemon is not known. But the bond between master and slave would no longer be that of ownership and purchase, which death alone would dissolve, but the relationship, the bond between Philemon and Onesimus would be through salvation. It gave them that new relationship in Christ, and this would last for how long? Not only the rest of their lives. Picture this. Onesimus goes back. Philemon hears the story. I can imagine that as Philemon embraced this, that Tychicus, who was observing this situation, hopefully they ran to each other. They hugged each other. There was forgiveness. There was confession of sin. There were apologies. And now they would become not just a master-slave. That would be erased by the gospel. They would now become brothers in Christ, yoking together to the glory of God, serving and getting done what needed to be done, but on a level of love, on a level of fellowship, and on a level of obedience, because they now were slaves to a new master. It's really interesting. When Onesimus goes back, he is not going to end up being a slave to Philemon like Rome would define it. He is a bondservant to Jesus Christ, and Philemon would be on the exact same level. And so rather than one being over the other in a legitimate sense, what they're going to be is they're going to yoke arms together and go forward on a level playing field and serve the Lord together. The basis of their new relationship is articulated in verse 16. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Under Roman law, Onesimus was still considered a slave, but under God's grace, he was now on level ground with Philemon as a brother in Christ. You know, many struggle with the book of Philemon because nowhere in it does Paul clearly condemn racial slavery, the slavery that we have seen like the Jews going into Egypt, like the blacks being taken from Africa and forced into slavery over here and in the United Kingdom. And by the way, there was also slavery amongst the tribes in Africa. There was slavery amongst the Indian tribes here in the United States. Whites were also made slaves by blacks here in the United States. Slavery was rampant. And obviously you're saying, well, does the Bible condemn that? Yes, the Bible clearly condemns that. Not in the liberation theology that became popular in the 60s and 70s, maybe not in their terms, but in a far more effective way. Not only I don't have you as a slave, not because I don't have the power anymore, not because there's a law against it anymore. It's because Jesus Christ teaches me to love you, and I wouldn't do that with you no matter what the circumstance is. I wouldn't care if it was legal. I wouldn't care what the circumstance, whether I needed people to do it and help me. I wouldn't make a slave of you because I love the Lord. I wouldn't make a slave of you because I care about you. I care about your soul. I care about you as a person. I care about your dreams, your ambitions, your desires, your ability to live to the glory of God, and I'll sacrifice, I'll serve, I'll help, I'll do whatever. The color of your skin is irrelevant. You are a person who's been created by God. And we need to love one another with a pure heart fervently, but only Jesus Christ can cause us to do that. The eradication of slavery, we may limit it by law, and we should. We may limit it by education, and yes, we need to do that. But you can only eradicate it one heart at a time. You can only eradicate it one heart at a time by causing that heart to be like Jesus' heart. The heart that took Jesus to the cross. The heart that caused him to shed his precious blood for you and me. The heart that caused him to pay the ultimate sacrifice so that we could be free from sin and no longer serve self. Slavery is my selfish self abusing you so that I get what I want in this world. Christianity, authentic Christianity, biblical Christianity, scriptural Christianity, Christ-like Christianity shows love for other people, sacrifices for other people, does what it takes for other people for them to live to the glory of God, and it starts by sharing the gospel, and it is followed up by discipleship, by service, by training, by all of those things in the New Testament where God teaches us to do like Paul did with Onesimus, like Paul did with Philemon. So many struggle with this book because nowhere in it does Paul clearly condemn racial slavery, but that's not what it's about. That's not what this book was about. That's not what it was written for. Shouldn't Paul have spoke out against the Roman government and slavery? Well, yes, if that was the major theme of the book and if he was just going to deal with social reform. But there are three key things to remember about this issue. If you attack the Apostle Paul for not writing this from a modern, stand of merely a polemic against slavery, there are three things that you need to remember, and you need to be very careful. Number one, everything that Paul says was given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit that is recorded in the book of Philemon. Paul is saying everything that God once said in this particular passage of Scripture. To condemn Paul silent on a given subject is to lay the blame on God, the Holy Spirit. What subject are you passionate about? If you go through the Bible and say, well, boy, I don't like it that God didn't address it in this particular way. God did address everything in principle. We have everything that is necessary for life and for godliness. Trust me, every ungodly issue is addressed in principle, and the solution is found in the Word of God. If you'll do what 2 Timothy 2:15 says, and not just use the Bible for your own means and corrupt it and twist it and make it say what you want it to say, you need to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, rightly using, rightly understanding, and thus rightly dividing the word of truth. Secondly, Paul gives the principles that would end slavery everywhere if followed. The slave reformers, the Emancipation Proclamation, is good as much of that is, none of it goes all the way, does it? Does slavery still exist in our world? Well, let's just say we could end all slavery, or you could end the desire for all slavery. Which would you choose? I'm going to take the second one every time. Because to end all slavery and yet see slavery still be in the hearts and minds of some people that, boy, if I could, I would. You know that they're not going to treat you in a respectful, benevolent, biblical way. How much more would it be if we said, not only do we want to end slavery, I want to end even the desire that is behind all wicked slavery. You see, that's what the gospel can do. That's what Jesus Christ can do. So don't come to me and tell me that the book of Philemon doesn't deal effectively with slavery. I'm going to say that all of the attempts that have been done in history, many of them advantageous and good, and I certainly wouldn't stop them, but none of them are as efficacious as the gospel. None of them have that power. Like Christ, Paul's ministry was primarily not to end social injustice, which is the buzzword of today. We've got to end social injustice. Well, even if you legislate that out of existence, even if you force it or suppress it out of existence, or even if you do a hierarchy where this group has more power than this group, so that they impose their social justice on the other people's lack of social justice, you still haven't solved the problem because you haven't changed the heart. As soon as the power structure changes, it'll go back the other way and back the other way and back the other way. It's still division. It is still hatred. It is still abuse. Bottom line is Paul's ministry was primarily not to end social justice, but to preach the gospel, to establish churches, to see people's lives changed. So Paul's personal request to Philemon, what is it going to be? I'm going to request that God does a great work in your heart. I'm going to request that you deal differently with Onesimus, Philemon. Which brings us to a concluding thought. I want to ask you this. What about you? Do you hate people? Would you make slaves of people if you could? There are many, many of minorities who would gladly make slaves of white people as some kind of reparation for what went on in the past. You know what? That is no solution, because down the road it can reverse and just happen all over again. And you know what? If all slavery ends, and yet we glare at each other, we hate each other, we look at each other saying, yeah, you're not my slave, but boy, I'll tell you, if I could, I'd make you one. What kind of a world is that to live in? What kind of a life is that to lead? What kind of a response is that? The gospel teaches us that we need to confess our own sin, all of us, individually, whatever that is. We need to get that right with God. We need to call unto Jesus Christ and ask Him to be our personal Lord and Savior. We need to turn from that sin. Metanoia in the Greek, repent. Turn away from that sin. We need to turn from that. And we need to trust Christ as our Savior. And then I look on you, no matter what shade your skin is, I look on you as a creation of God. And my responsibility to you is to share the gospel with you, to love you in Christ's stead, to want and desire and to help your life be everything that it can be to the glory of God and beneficial to you. My goal when I get up in the morning is not to suppress a black, suppress an Asian, to suppress an Indian, to suppress someone who may even just have a slightly different shade, color of skin than mine. My goal in the morning is not that when Jesus is my Lord and Savior. My goal in the morning is to share the gospel with you, to love you, to build you up, to give you opportunities for peace, prosperity, and to serve. That's what the goal is. Jesus said, if the Son shall make you free, you should be free indeed. Many people have been freed from slavery, and that's good. But they've not been freed from their own sin. They've not been freed from their own prejudice. They've not been freed from their own hatred. They've not been freed from the wickedness that binds their heart, their outlook, and the divisions that infect and affect many of us. Turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Jesus Christ is the answer. God created this world so that you and I could know His love, His grace, His mercy, His peace, His forgiveness, His joy. Paul put it this way, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, temperance, meekness, faith. Against such there is no law. Isn't that what God wants for you and for me? If you're a sinner who's never trusted Christ as your Savior, cry unto Him, confess your sin to Him, turn from your sin, call unto Him, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call unto Him and ask Him to be your Lord, the Lord of your life and your Savior. Get busy reading His Word. Get busy praying. Find a good Bible preaching, teaching local church, and get involved in that local church. Be baptized and join that local church so that you can live for the glory of God with a God-glorifying testimony. You see, that's God's will for all of us. That's God's plan for all of us. That's God's pattern of transformation for all of us. May God grant you the grace, the strength, and the ability to do that. Let's pray. Lord, use this truth to transform our people, to transform our nation, to transform our world. There are so many evil people doing so many evil things on so many levels and self-justifying themselves because of the victim status that they think that they can embrace that causes them to want things which are just another form of slavery. Set us free, Lord Jesus, with the gospel and your salvation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us here today in our study at Berean Baptist Church. We hope that you'll tune in next week where we can learn more about how to live like the Lord Jesus Christ and truly love one another in a biblical way. Thank you for joining us.